You know, if you were to ask most Americans where Shiloh is, you would probably just get stared at. Most historians would point out a Civil War fought in Hardin County, somewhere in Tennessee. And all you Neil Diamond fans would burst out in chorus to one of his most famous songs, Shiloh. Well, lo and behold, there's a third Shiloh. We're here today, meeting in Shiloh. Actually, there are three Shilohs in the Bible. The first Shiloh is the man. As defined in Easton's Bible Dictionary, first is generally denoting Messiah, the peaceful one. As the word signifies, we read in Genesis 49:10, on his deathbed, Jacob said of his son Judah, "The scepter will not depart from Judah, nor lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh comes. And to him shall be the obedience of the people," or as in the Vulgate version, "it is he who is to be sent." Then we have Shiloh, the second Shiloh, is the place. The definition in Easton's Bible is a place of rest, a city of Ephraim on the north side of Bethel. It's about 10 miles from Bethel. We can read of it in Judges 21, verse 19. "And then they said, in fact, there is a yearly feast of the Lord in Shiloh, which is north of Bethel, on the east side of the highway that goes from Bethel to Shechem and south of Lebanon." Now here is where the tabernacle was set up after the conquest, when the people entered the land that God had given to them. We read of some of the things that happened in Judges 18, starting in verse 1. "In those days there was no king in Israel. And in those days the tribe of the Danites was seeking an inheritance for itself to dwell in. For until that day there was no inheritance they had none amongst the tribes of Israel. So the children of Dan sent 5 men from their family, from their territory, men of valor from Zoar and Eshtaol, to spy out the land and to search it. And they said to them, 'Go, search the land.' So they went into the mountains of Ephraim to the house of Micah and lodged there. And while they were at the house of Micah, they recognized the voice of the young Levite." And try as I may at this point, I tried to find the name of the young Levite, and I could not, except for the fact that he was from Benjamin, Judah, and that he had followed upon Micah. Micah, having seen he was a Levite, hired him to be his own priest. "So they turned aside and said to him, 'Who brought you here? What are you doing in this place, and what do you have here?' And he said to them, 'Thus and so Micah did for me. He has hired me, and I have become his priest.' So they said to him, 'Then inquire of God, that we may know whether the journey on which we will go will be prosperous.' And the priest said to them, 'Go in peace. The presence of the Lord be with you on your way.' So the 5 men departed and went to Laish. They saw the people who were there, how they dwelt safely, in the manner of the Sidonians, quiet and secure. There were no rulers in the land who might put them to shame for anything. They were far from the Sidonians, and they had no ties with anyone." In verse 8, "Then the spies came back to their brethren, and Zoar and Eshtaol, and their brethren said to them, 'Well, then what is your report?' So they said, 'Arise, let us go up against them, for we have seen this land, and indeed it is very good. Would you do nothing? Do not hesitate to go and enter to possess the land. When you go, you will come to a secure people and a large land, for God has given it into your hands, a place where there is no lack of anything that is on the earth.' And this is where the tabernacle at Shiloh stayed, established and stayed until all of the judges, and of course until we know that time when the ark fell into the hands of the Philistines. No spot, brethren, could have been more secluded than that early sanctuary. The third Shiloh is Shiloh the parable. We find it in Jeremiah 7, in verses 1 through 15, where God says in verse 1, the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, stand in the gate of the Lord's house, and proclaim there this word, and say, hear the word of the Lord, all you judges that enter in at these gates to worship the Lord. Verse 3, thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, amend your ways and your doings, and I will cause you to dwell in this place. Do not trust in lying words, saying the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord are these. For if you thoroughly amend your ways and your doings, if you thoroughly execute judgment between a man and his neighbor, if you do not oppress the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow, you do not shed innocent blood in this place, neither walk after other gods to your hurt, then will I cause you to dwell in this place, in the land that I gave to your fathers forever and ever. But behold, in verse 8, you trust in lying words that cannot profit. Will you steal, murder, commit adultery, swear falsely, and burn incense into Baal, and walk after other gods whom you do not know? And you will come, and you will stand in this house, which is called by my name, and say, we are delivered to do all these abominations. In this house is this house, then, which is called by my name, become a den of robbers in your eyes. Sounds a little familiar from later dates. Behold, even I have seen it, says the Lord. But go you now unto my place, which was in Shiloh, where I set my name at the first, and see what I did to it for the wickedness of my people Israel. And now, because you have done all these works, says the Lord, I spoke unto you rising up early and speaking, but you heard not. And I called you, but you answered not. Therefore, will I do unto this house, which is called by my name, wherein you trust, and into the place which I gave to you, to your fathers, as I have done to Shiloh. I will cast you out of my sight, as I have cast out all your brethren, even the whole seed of Ephraim. And again in Jeremiah 26, verses 5 and 6, what to hearken to the words of the servants, the prophets whom I sent to you, both rising early and sending them, but you have not hearkened. Then will I do of this house like Shiloh, and will make this city a curse to all the nations of the earth. Brethren, the people trusted in the temple. They felt secure, knowing that they could go their own way. They could practice idolatry, so they thought, cheating, stealing, serving their own lust. And then they could return to this house, and they could feel safe and secure from his very presence. Through the years, God sent his prophets to warn Israel, to plead with the people to abandon their wicked ways and return to him, and he would heal them, and he would turn, and he would be their God. But they, the people, stoned the prophets, killed the just ones who were sent to them. After all, they had the temple, and thus they believed. With that, they had God's favor and his protection that they could return to. So as God said, he destroyed these temples, all three of them. He told people who trusted in these places where he had once put his name to learn the lesson of Shiloh. Today, there's a small wooden sign outside of the road to Jerusalem, which points the way to Shiloh. If you take that road, you will eventually come to a dead end. All that remains of the place of Shiloh is a hill of stones and a small curio shop selling artifacts of a bygone era where once the glory of God's presence resided. Well, what of us, brethren? Do we have what we trust in this world that gives us that false sense of security once felt by the ancient Israelites? Another way of putting it, what is our Shiloh? Whatever it happens to be for us, God wants us to go there and see what will happen to those who trust in material things. Both Jeremiah and Jesus pointed to Shiloh to show that security does not come from the temple of Shiloh or the temple at Jerusalem, for that fact, any place. Security, brethren, comes from the presence of God. For over 300 years, only the high priest could stand in the presence of the Holy of Holies at the tabernacle in Shiloh. Today anyone can walk where once the temple stood in Shiloh because the glory has departed. We read in 1 Samuel 4, verse 22, "And she," Eli's daughter-in-law, "said, the glory is departed from Israel, for the ark of God is taken." Eli's daughter-in-law said that while dying from childbirth to name her child Ichabod, which meant no glory because of the death of her husband and her father-in-law. And it was a time when God could no longer dwell among his people because of their stubborn rebellion. It was the first location of a place God placed his name, and he said that little word, if. If his people would honor him, keep his sayings, that his glory and his presence would remain there with them. And he promised it would remain forever. But sadly, it was the first of three temples God would abandon because of the sins of the people: Shiloh, Solomon's temple, and the temple Jesus walked among with the original disciples. It was Jesus' word to his disciples that gives us a hint of the real temple God always had in mind when he told them in John 2, verse 19. Jesus answered and said to them, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." And it becomes very personal when we see what Paul, speaking to the Corinthians about amending some of their ways, in 2 Corinthians 6, verse 16. 2 Corinthians 6, verse 16, Paul says, "What agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them, walk in them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people." Man's search for a place, a temple to worship God, will finally be recognized when God will make his dwelling place here with his sons and daughters. We read of this in Revelation 21, starting in verse 1. Where John speaking, Revelation 21, verse 1, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. In verse 2, "And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, He will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them, and he will be their God. And finally, we see the ending of the story of the quest of the temple. You know, it wasn't Shiloh. It wasn't Shiloh, nor was it Jerusalem. It is found in Revelation 21. And in verse 22, Revelation 21, verse 22, "And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it." Brethren, let's look. Let's look to the real temple to be set up to be our home, the place we look for, our home. And our home has always been, shall always be, where the Father is.